High of Night by Gav Thorpe. Performed by Annie Aldington, Gareth Armstrong, Cliff Chapman, Steve Conlin, Emma Gregory, Matthew Hunt, Jonathan Keeble, and Melvin Rawlinson. Part 3. It wasn't just a physical wind that whined from the canopy of the diving Thunderhawk. Protected by an Aegis bubble generated from the psychic defenses of its occupants, the gunship literally cut through the soul stuff of the Eye of Terror, a pocket of reality in a sea of the immaterial. Within, order and sanity. Outside, raw chaos. The keening of damned spirits sounded in the heart and mind as much as the ears. They whispered their tragedies, each too quiet to be heard among the weight of their numbers, giving rise to a plaintive whole devoid of individuality. Now and then, a more powerful soul would slide against the shielded fuselage, its shrieked lament lost in the turmoil. Many times, more than she could remember, Greyfax had been called upon to enter battle during her service to the Emperor. Heretics, Xenos, mutants, rebels and demons had all fallen beneath her blade and bolter. This time felt different. A heightened sense of fate at hand. This was no ordinary world to which the gunship descended. She knew nothing of the nature of the foe she and Genhain's Grey Knights would face, other than that it would be demonic. Even this did not account for her unease. The source was easy to identify. It sat like a flame of blue and green upon the crash seat in front of her, no bigger than her thumb. Moriana's impish demon familiar had no face to speak of, and only the vaguest flicker of protrusions that might be called limbs. Even so, it appeared to be sitting on the edge of the bench with its arms folded and legs crossed, looking with energetic curiosity around the troop compartment of the Thunderhawk. It started humming to itself. Never before had Greyfax gone into battle with one of her sworn enemies as an ally, and the thought was chilling. If she could do this, what else was she capable of? How could she purge herself of this guilty act?
We are almost at the surface.
Greyfax looked out of the viewing port. The sky of the demon world was red-tinted. In the distance, clouds brewed and boiled, flickering with yellow lightning. Tortured faces, flowing and changing within the roiling crimson masses. Below were mountains that looked like fangs. Each was a massive jag of ivory and black, seated in concentric circles of gum-like foothills. At their center, reared an immense black thorn of a tower, bedecked with turrets and spires. It seemed to briefly shimmer like crystal, as though its darkness was a mirage, before resuming its somber and intimidating facade.
Bastiagar, the pillar of spite fulfilled, shrine of the wanderer, prison of Agnarator, load of the mother spawn, tower.
Shut up, spark of vileness! Where is the Eye of Night?
Starworn, gate of endless gates, citadel of the fate weaver.
Understand this, Ember of Chaos. My blade will separate you as easily as the air. Do not think that the amnesty extended to your mistress applies to you. Where in the tower do we find the Eye of Night?
Find it yourself, Emperor Witch. So self-righteous. I smell that metal in you. Touched, impure, negative self. Approximates virtue.
The location. Now. Your summoner vowed and vouched. She desires our success.
Follow me, Huntress of the Shadow Empire.
The imp became even more of a wisp and floated up from the seat. Bobbing slightly as though caught on a current of air, it drifted through the hatch into the cockpit, then brightened as it became a spark in the gloom ahead. The pilot steered after the apparition, heading toward a spur low on the flank of the great tower. From below, a rainbow of colors erupted from an opening maw, engulfing the swooping gunship with demonic power, pressing in upon the psychic barriers. Along the kaleidoscope bridge soared demon things, Their streamlined predatory bodies edged with claws and spines, stingers trailing behind in the chaos current.
All stations! Open fire!
The rounds of the heavy bolters had been anointed with the blood of saints. They flared into the otherness of the demon sphere, becoming cascades of cleansing lightning, swirling down upon the rising demons like the fury of a storm god. The imp demon took them directly through the gathering flock. Explosions of ichor and unreal blood spattered and rained as the Thunderhawk's weapons carved through the circling, swooping creatures. It became clear that they were headed for a wall connected to the promontory Greyfax had spied earlier, a parapet wide enough for the gunship to land. The wall was thronged with demon kin, bounding, cavorting horrors of cerulean hue, rowed about greater presences of pink that seemed part body and part miasma. They shifted endlessly, sparks of red and purple streaking up from fingers splayed towards the incoming gunship. The gunnery systems were turned toward the ground, now sowing droplets of black fire among the teeming mass. Into this convocation of death plunged the Grey Knight's transport, its presence anathema to the creatures below.
Armor, your souls! Follow me!
The moment the ramp was down, Greyfax led the charge. A bolter spat fury incarnate, every blessed projectile a white flare of purity. Around her erupted the storm of the Grey Knights, their ire like a wall of blades that cut down anything that approached. Ahead, Morianna's guide flickered and bobbed in front of a forbidding gatehouse. The raised portcullis formed a huge fanged beak, lit up by the flash of weapons and plumes of magical fire.
No relent! We cannot fail while our faith holds true!
Without the dimming and brightening star of Morianna's guide to lead them, Greyfax and her companions would have been lost within moments of passing beneath the gate of the tower. The demons had been content not to follow, trusting to the nightmarish interior to do what they could not. Regular dimensions became irrelevant. Even the sketchy psychics of the Citadel's exterior had been abandoned when they'd crossed the threshold. Corridors expanded out like the crystal shapes of snowflakes, mirror surfaces reflecting doorways and corridors that did not exist.
Disable your sensorium, brothers. There is nothing tangible here for it to detect. Trust only. Trust nothing. Not even your eyes.
Though there was definitely a surface underfoot, it could not rightly be called a floor. They appeared to walk upon the walls or ceilings at times, though never once felt the change of gravity.
I feel chambers and walls, gates and arches, that I cannot see.
Nothing here is real, even our thoughts. There is only the reality we bring with us. Never forget that. And never leave the sanctuary of the Aegis.
Do you have any recollection of this place?
Only the vaguest inkling of familiarity, like a misremembered nightmare. If my body does indeed lie here, I have no idea how it came to be.
The light of the familiar dappled on rippled surfaces like frozen ice and was swallowed by bottomless depths. It turned sharply, circling about as if trying to find the way. Eventually, when Greyfax could no longer hold back the teetering nothingness that crowded around the kernel of her thoughts, they came upon a vaster space. Among such extraordinary surroundings, it seemed almost mundane to enter a hall with a floor, walls, and ceiling. Clouds gathered about the heads of the countless pillars that held up the vaults of the sky. Purple grass flattened underfoot. A breeze sighed against the armor of the Emperor's servants.
Now it comes to me. Part at least, like scattered pieces of a puzzle found whilst groping in the dark.
What do you remember, Inquisitor?
I came here with Paladin Bellicus. Our squad had fallen as we navigated the tower's depths. Moriana had sent no aid that time.
What happened, Horst?
The demon.
What of it? What did?
Horst raised the finger of his gauntlet and pointed. Greyfax's inquiry died as their surroundings fell away, the vista of a hall sloughed off like a discarded skin to reveal a hellish scene. Flame lit everything. In the dancing of ruddy light and shadow, Greyfax half saw figures in agony. They were being excruciated upon every instrument of torture ever devised by the devious minds of humans. Horned demons loomed over their prisoners. Taloned hands grasped tongs and brands, hooks and whips. There was something horribly familiar about them, and in the reflections on the blades of flaying knives, Greyfax thought she saw her own face looking back.
No! There! The demon!
The figure that emerged from the smoke and shadows seemed like an ordinary man, save for the black hollows that were his eyes. He was tall, gaunt, but possessed of some bulk. He wore a sleeveless tunic of black, embroidered with gold, over a shirt of scarlet. Thick black trousers were tucked into calf-high standard-issue Imperial Guard boots. Most disturbing of all was the smile, languid and uncaring. He opened his arms as though in welcome.
My body!
It is my body.
What?
The demon has taken my body for itself. I remember now. I had to hurl myself into the paladin's body to cast myself back to the psychic beacon at Savarvan.
It lies. This is my body. It is the creature of the darkness. You have been fooled, Inquisitor.
All the while, the flame of Moriana's guide bobbed and wove above the head of the demon.
This one! Kill this one!
You are by far the most unconvincing doppelganger I have ever encountered, demon.
Greyfax raised her anointed bolter. Beside and behind her, the Grey Knights also took aim.
No!
Possessed though it is, that is still my mortal shell. Destroy it, and I am doomed to inhabit this carcass forever!
Around them, the demon torturers turned from their victims, eyes blazing silver and gold, as their attention fell upon the mortal interlopers.
There is no other way, Inquisitor. We must destroy the host vessel!
It needs no vessel! This is the Eye of Terror, not the mortal world! It is using my body only as a shield!
Then our need is even clearer!
We can drive it out. If we combine our minds, we have the power to destroy the demon and save my body.
The demon Horst held up a clawed hand, forks of energy snaking between its fingertips.
We shall try it your way, Horst. Protect yourselves and project your ire!
Loosed from the confines of her mortal senses, Greyfax's soul spiraled out of her thoughts to become a towering figure of black wrath. Her eyes were a white flame, and her sword gleamed silver. Around her, the Grey Knights' minds manifested as sharp warriors of iron, bearing glowing halberds. Horst was a flickering apparition, caught between two realities, neither living nor dead. His presence a deathly visage, trapped in a permanent wail, trailing tatters of dissipating energy. The demons had not changed, save for the Horst possessor. It was a negative of the Inquisitor's shade, an empty darkness bleeding through the veil of realities.
There is no failure today. Triumph or die for the Emperor!
Fraternis Diabolus Injunctator!
At the command of their Justicar, the Grey Knights allowed their spirit energy to merge. The runes upon their force weapons blazed into glorious life, linking them with a web of arcing power. Sacred lightning flared from their blades as they unleashed scything fusillades of bolts.
I shall not be robbed, assassins of Moriana. Into the pit I cast thee.
The demon Horst manifested a great three-headed staff, One tipped with the face of a serpent, the second the visage of a goat, the third the beaked head of a vulture. It slammed the staff onto the ground, and at its touch, the demon tower started to shatter, exploding with lethal shards of energy. A storm of demon splinters whirled and swept over the entourage of Greyfax, colliding against the shimmering dome of their aegis. Into the teeth of the storm advanced the Grey Knights. Their force weapons projected a wall of lightning, incinerating every demonic torture that had hurled itself against their runecast power.
I banish thee!
Behind them strode Greyfax, arm aloft. A nimbus of energy streamed from her outstretched fingertips. Like a pillar holding up the vaults of the heavens, she was the bulwark upon which rested the Aegis, the center of the crackling power dome. Horst flew above them, arrowing towards his demon counterpart.
Begone from my body, spawn of the abyss!
Your soul is forsaken too, child of men. You should never have returned to me.
The two spirit beings became a thrashing cloud of black and white, flares of red and blue dancing across the boiling surface. As the demon fought to retain control of its body, it drew in more of the energy used to sustain its immaterial surroundings. First one, then several, then dozens of its conjured minions fell into nothing. Their sustaining power skewered away to join the whirl of chaotic energy siphoned into the demon prince.
Now, Genhain! Push on and cast out the demon!
The last assault, brothers! Imperator Dominus!
Aegis and Nemesis Storm converged to become a single mass of glowing blue power, the wrath of the Emperor himself. Yet even as the Grey Knights bound their minds to unleash this terrible attack, the spirit of Horst was cast from the demon's presence. Leaving a wake of dissipating white mist, Horst fell like a shooting star, diminishing with every passing moment until only a grey stone clattered against the floor. The conjuration vanished the moment Horst's spirit rendered his body. Their will momentarily shattered, the spirits of Greyfax and her escort flew back to their bodies, unable to sustain themselves in the demon's absence. The reality bubble asserted itself. Greyfax at its heart, Horst, the demon, and the Grey Knights around her. All had become corporeal, but still the demon inhabited the corpse of Horst. His armor, the armor of Paladin Bellicus that he had in turn possessed, lay on the stone floor of the Unreal Tower. It struggled to one knee, twitching and jerking under the influence of the immaterial presence that guided it.
End it. Victory before all else.
Greyfax needed no further encouragement. She fired as she advanced. Her first shot hit the demon corpse in the chest, ripping out ribs and heart. The second shattered a hip, causing it to topple to one knee and throw up a hand in protest. It looked almost the mirror image of the crippled Horst.
Cease this. Morianna pulls your strings. I can offer you power, knowledge. The Eye of Night is but a meager treasure of the Fate Weaver's Tower. I shall show you things that can shatter the legions of the dark.
Silence!
Greyfax's third shot destroyed the creature's face, silencing its insulting offers. Yet it still moved, trying to claw at her as she stopped within reach, broken fingernails scratching at her armor. Her sword swept out in a single blow, taking the head clean from the body. The corpse landed at her feet. A moment later, the head rolled past her. Behind her, Horst's animate warplate also collapsed and lay still.
What is that within the skull of his body?
Greyfax slid her blade into its scabbard and stooped to pick out the contents of the broken skull. It was a black gem the size of her fist, surrounded by a haze of darkness.
The Eye of Night.
We must take it to the Primarch without delay. Our battle is not yet over.
Greyfax nodded, slipping the Chaos Jewel into a small chest upon her belt. A psychically warded casket she had brought for the artifact's containment. Despite the foes that would beset them on the way out, she felt victorious. The triumph dimmed within a heartbeat as she considered the sacrifice of Horst. Noticing that the messenger of Morianna had vanished, any sense of success disappeared completely. Any victory she had achieved was tainted by the deal she had struck with a crone. She could not change the past, so she set aside her concerns, and she brought forth her sword.
For the Emperor!